What's up, everybody? Bobby Shortle here. Welcome back to the Monthly Reset Podcast. And of course, I'm joined by Mr. Justin Townsend.
What's up?
So, it was not, 2 days ago, Justin, that we were hanging out at your house. We were sitting outside in your backyard, watching our children play on a playground. And you said, hey, when do you want to do the next Monthly Reset Podcast? And I said, I don't know. End of the month? And here we are. It's not the end of the month. It's the very beginning of the month, but there was some giant news. I guess you should start out by saying those of you who are watching Justin and I and Steve on the Joe Blow game show, that show is done. Not for any nefarious reasons. It just is not going to happen anymore. So we are going back, transferring everything back over here to the Monthly Reset. We're going to pick up where we left off. Always doing a monthly show. And then stuff like this, which is kind of like an emergency pod, get thrown in there as well. So we are really doing this because they dropped this giant PS5 like announcement thing, a blog post and a story in Wired. And we want to talk about it because that's what we like to do. And we were going to talk about it anyway, so we might as well record it right here. I didn't do it on purpose, but we didn't really talk about it at all today, except for like, hey, here's the blog post. Oh, that's interesting. And then that was it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Which is weird for us. By the way, if you're in the chat, if you're watching, please let me know if it sounds good, if it looks good, if there's any problems, and I'll try to fix those on the fly. If anybody is just like tuning in, oh, let me see what's going on. This will be out in normal way. It will be on the podcast feed, back on the Monthly Reset podcast feed, and also on the Talking Comics feed. So you'll be able to find it very easily. So stay tuned for that. If you have to tune out, I totally understand. But this is we're live. We're going to try to do this every time we record it. We'll try to do it live. Justin, do you want to jump right in the PS5 news? We jump right in the PS5 news. It's the news. It's the news. Yeah. We might talk a little about the games we've been playing at the end just because we might do that. So Justin, do you have the story in front of you?
Yeah. I have IGN's version of it.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. They're a reputable source, so that's okay.
I've heard of them once or twice.
Yeah, they tend to be in places. So let's talk about the facts. First of all, what did Sony announce today?
Sony has announced that the PS5 will be released during holiday 2020. So that's the main thing is like, hey, we knew this is coming. It actually got announced for holiday 2020. So that's locked in just like the next Xbox Scarlet.
I did like that Jim Ryan said in the post, because this was written by like the head of PlayStation, I guess. Like he's credited as writing it. I don't know if he actually wrote it, but he's credited as writing it. He said like, look, we know that a lot of this probably is not really a secret at all. But we just want to get it out there so it's not, people don't have to like think, don't have to conjecture on it anymore. This is what's happening, which seems to be like the new, I guess, method, the new marketing method for these companies is to be like,
I don't like it.
Look, you know it's happening, so we're just going to talk about it. Like, that's kind of like the vibe.
I like that, but it seems like these companies have gotten completely away from everybody all aboard the hype train.
Yeah, you want the pomp and circumstance. You want the,
the PlayStation 4 reveal was, like, a cool event. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, this is what the console looks like. They didn't show what the console looked like. This is what the controller looks like. Here are a demo of a couple of games. Still waiting on Deep Down.
Did they not show the box at the reveal?
They did not. They did not show the box.
Interesting.
Okay. Xbox did.
They did, right? That's why. I guess that's why in my head I was thinking that they had.
Yeah, but they, you know, like that was, it was like a big deal. Like a console announcement is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And like, I find it a little bit strange that they just basically on a random Tuesday were like, here's a press release, PlayStation 5 2020.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of did this right when they, even when they were just like, oh, hey, we're working on something new. There was like, it was Wired, right? Wasn't it Wired that had like the exclusive, like they sat down with them. And they like showed them the hard drive speed or whatever, and like
was it Wired or was it Eurogamer?
No, it wasn't Eurogamer. It was. I thought it was Wired. And
not Digital Foundry. No, Digital Foundry had the Xbox One.
Digital Foundry is Eurogamer, but yes,
same thing.
Yeah, they had the Xbox One X reveal stuff, but
yeah,
I remember that was like, oh, Wired. They think the friendly knowledge. The point was like at that point was like, oh, Wired had the details. So PlayStation was like, well, we might as well get out in front of it. But this seems like they're just like, okay, we're just going to give the details now. Maybe because they've been kind of quiet for a while. I don't know why.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll get a big Xbox announcement at the end of the week or something like that. And PlayStation was just trying to beat Xbox or Microsoft to the punch.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Microsoft, the only thing I know about Microsoft right now is they're launching that Project xCloud thing, which is like kind of like their like Stadia, PlayStation Now-ish type thing. Yeah. Or it's going into test. But yeah, I don't know. So in that blog post, what else was in that blog post, Justin? Or what
so
else
they
was
talked
in the,
about? Yeah. They talked about, I'm just going to pretty much read verbatim here. Revealed in a PlayStation blog post, the console is officially called the PlayStation 5. The blog also reveals that the console's controller will feature two new key innovations, haptic feedback, which will replace the traditional rumble, and adaptive triggers. Also will feature USB-C charging, a higher capacitive battery. It's going to be a little bit heavier than the DualShock 4, but still, they make a note here, still lighter than an Xbox One controller with batteries inside.
Okay.
Mark Cerny gets into it a little bit more.
So they
Mark
did this
Cerny
Wired
talk.
Article as well, and that's where they Mark Cerny stuff got like a little deeper.
Yeah, I'm actually clicking on the Wired article as we speak, so now I'm on it. If it ever decides to load, here we go. They spoke about the ray tracing thing that they had talked about before briefly. Everyone was wondering how that was going to happen, and it's apparently on the hardware side, not the software side.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about like what the SSD will allow them to do. You know, they their big selling point when they first announced that they were making a next gen console was like, hey, we're getting rid of load times. And I think there was a demo of Spider-Man up where it just shows like them just flying through the city as fast as possible and everything loading in right away, like a thousand times faster than Spider-Man could even go. Mm-hmm. And then they get into the, you know, the nuts and bolts of that, but they talked about being able to load games. Like you could choose to load let's say like Call of Duty, you could choose to load all of Call of Duty. You could choose to load just the campaign, just the multiplayer. You could choose to download everything and then just delete the campaign to make more space, and just leave the multiplayer there. They also were starting to mention being able to, on the dashboard, like jump straight into a multiplayer match from the dashboard.
Yeah, they were talking about how the games, one of Cerny, it's just like paraphrasing, but he said kind of was, the games load incredibly fast, but they also want you to be able to see things without launching the game. So the dashboard, like you said, will be much more interactive. Like, oh, I see Justin is in a match right now, or you know, whatever, like in a game of Borderlands, I can just hit this button and it will launch me into the game and into his game immediately.
Yeah, so here we go. This is what Cerny was saying. Even though it's fairly fast to boot games, we don't want to see the player having to boot up the game, see what's up, and go from there. Multiplayer game servers will provide the console with a set of joinable activities in real time. Single-player games will provide information like what missions you could do and what rewards you will receive for completing them. And all of those choices will be visible in the UI. As a player, you could just jump into whatever you like. So, I mean, that's an interesting thing. Like, you know, for some reason, right away, I started thinking of, like, an Assassin's Creed game. Like, let's say Odyssey, for instance. Like, Odyssey takes a while to load up. So it'd be interesting if, like, I knew, like, hey, this is the name of the mission that I was going to do last night. and I could just instantly load into that mission, skipping the title sequence, all those loads, and just get right into gameplay.
Yeah. There were some fascinating things in that Cerny interview, like the how the sausage gets made type stuff that like always fascinates me. Like, they talked about, because the drives in the current consoles are super, super slow. I don't know the Xbox One X. I don't know if it's as slow as the other drives. I don't know, but they are 5,400 RPM drives, which are like slow ass, like laptop drives, and not the kind of drives that are made to stream and, you know, run like really high end video games. Right.
Which we are seeing now.
Yeah. And he mentioned something about Spider-Man, how, there was a ton of repeated data on in the executable, because when the hard drive had to go and seek what it was looking for, they were trying to cut down on the latency between when it would find and when it would deliver the info. So there was like, it said like 400, like, something like
400 data duplicated items on the hard drive.
On the hard drive. Which is a crazy thing, right? And they talk about how with the SSD that'll change because it's going to be streamlined. It's going to go like almost immediately, right? Very quickly. And they showed that in those older demos. What I think is cool about the being able to jump into things bit is that right now, and they have that somewhat on that PlayStation dashboard. Like, if you see some games will have that, like, oh, this person's in a session. Like, if their game is public, you can just join them, right? But it loads slowly. It doesn't, you know, you have to like pull down on the game to see it, and sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it's not there. They're very inconsistent, and I hope this is something they'll change. Inconsistent about, like, sometimes when you invite somebody in a game, it's in-game, and sometimes you have to go out to a PlayStation, like, notification screen to join a game. And that stuff is slow, especially if you're playing, I don't know, Call of Duty, which takes 7.5 years to get in and out of menus once you've loaded the game up. So if streamlines all that, that's very cool. The controller thing... I'm very wary of, like, calling Rumble something else and claiming it's going to be different. Like, haptic is a cool idea, and it has cool functions, and it can be much more precise, right, than Rumble. It can give you actual, like, tactile, you know, differentiating feedback.
Would you like them to call it HD Rumble instead?
But that's what I mean. It's just like... okay, like, is it really going to be that much different? Or are developers really going to, like, discreetly program, like, these different things? Is it going to, like, are they going to make it easy for that to happen with some sort of, like, middleware solution? You know, I don't know. It's a cool-sounding thing. Going back to the, like, reactive triggers thing, which they used to do, like, I'm assuming it's something like they usually do in, like the analog triggers they used to have, like, in... like the old days where it's like, you know, the amount you're pressing and stuff really matters. Yeah. And yeah.
The article here talks about adaptive triggers that offer varying levels of resistance. So it can make you feel like pulling a bowstring.
Right.
Like the intention increasing as you pull the arrow back, or make a machine gun feel a lot different than a shotgun. They
Didn't
say
the
you'll,
Xbox
you'll notice
One
this a lot. In-
have that? Like the first iteration of the Xbox One controller? Have that. There was something with, like, I remember them saying something about that at the beginning, but I don't remember. But anyway, go ahead.
That type of stuff. I mean, they got hands-on with it. They say that they played Astrobot Rescue Mission in VR, and this person ran a character through a platforming level featuring numerous different types of surfaces, all which gave a distinct and surprisingly immersive tactile experience. Sandflint felt slow and soggy. Mud felt slow and soggy. On ice, a high frequency response made the thumbsticks really feel like the character was gliding. And then he also goes into, he played some Gran Turismo Sport and came away impressed with the way that the new triggers felt.
That's cool. I just want to say thank you to Andy for the follow, and thank you to Leetz Goza for the follow as well. So thank you for that. Yeah, so Holiday 2020, fast hard drive, cool new things on the controller as far as like the haptic feedback and the kind of adaptive triggers and these kind of quick start things from the dashboard. Are you, Comic Book Cody, thank you for the follow. Are you excited about the things they've announced? Are you excited about in which we talked about a little bit at the very beginning, but are you excited about in which the way they announced them?
I think it would be a lot better just announcement wise if they had done this and shown it. I mean, well, you know what? It's how are you going to show a controller? It's like yeah. VR. How are you going to show the way a controller feels?
Right.
So in that way, does it really matter? Not yeah. really. What would matter most to me is seeing the way that load times work. Like, mm-hmm. load me up Destiny and show me how long it takes to fly to planet to planet.
Yeah.
That would make a mark on me. And I'm sure we're going to see those things.
Yeah.
I am very ready for next gen consoles. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been playing Borderlands 3 and the menu system is excruciatingly slow.
I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? I feel like at the end of the last generation, obviously the games hit a wall, like visually and stuff like that. But I
it wasn't
don't,
like this.
It wasn't like
it
this.
Wasn't it, like was, this.
It wasn't like basic quality of life features went down the toilet, you know? And we're not playing on base PS4s. We're playing on PS4 Pros, you know? I hear it's worse on the base PS4. Like there have been several games this year that have felt like this, that have felt like they've been slow to load into, they've had slow menus, they've had bad performance, and I just feel like I don't understand like what you're making these for this console generation. Like there's a PC SKU, but that's always been the case, right? So I don't understand. And so yes, maybe it's just like the idea, like the conspiracy of like, oh, they make your iPhone run slower before the new one comes out, so you want to buy the new one. Like, are they just like, we don't care if these games run well anymore. We want to make people go, God, I need a new box. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
It feels like, and I'm not the most technically savvy person in the world when it comes to this stuff, but I mean, the PlayStation 3 ran for what, 8 years? And mm-hmm. that was running on their own custom GPU.
Yeah.
And at the end, yeah, you're right. Like we didn't have these menu systems, but I don't think games are as nearly as complex. Like, I mean, the PlayStation 3 didn't even have party chat.
That's true.
So when they made the PlayStation 4, as I understand it, the hardware that they locked in was already behind the times when they locked it in. It just felt like such a big leap for console gamers because we were coming off 7 and 8 years of the previous consoles. From the rumors that I'm reading now about what these systems are going to do, it is supposedly, and I mean, quote, supposedly, the largest leap in a console generation jump. So it should be interesting. Like, you know, if I have to try and load in to upgrade FLAC a couple more times, it's like I just save my points because I'm like, it's just not worth it. I'm going to spend 3 minutes trying to do this.
Yeah, like we'll talk a little about Borderlands in a minute, I think. But I go into the menu and it's so slow, it loads up. And then I'll get slightly impatient and I'll click like the right bumper one too many times. And it takes me past the screen in which I want to be on. And yeah. then I'm like, I just want to quit. I just want to stop because it's going to take another 5 seconds for it to go back to the other menu. And you're in your menus a lot. So it's a crazy thing to me. I hope it gets fixed. And that this fast hard drive fixes a lot of these issues. I would imagine it would. But yeah, I mean, he talked about the jump. They've mentioned like, I guess they showed like prototypes of the controller and there's like these rumors that it has a microphone built into it. There's gonna be some sort of like, voice assistant, which, like, I guess like that feels like a generation ago, you know, but not that everything we own doesn't have a voice assistant, but just for like a console, I don't feel like it's a useful item. There's been rumors like they're going to come with like higher quality cameras and stream, like be more stream focused as well, have more streaming features and more focused streaming features.
I would think it would have to be a focus of the next consoles is to have streaming just completely built into the console.
I mean, they do now, right? But it's like,
yeah, I mean, but like it was something they I think that they added on near the ends of that thing's development cycle. And I bet a lot of it is geared towards streaming.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, Andy says we need more flops. We absolutely need more.
They haven't talked about teraflops, so I'm not sure how powerful this thing really is.
Yeah, Microsoft, I think, talks about it a little bit in their...
Microsoft talks about their teraflops all the time.
I want to see what the box looks like, but more than that, really, I want to see what the interface looks like. I want to see what it actually looks like, how it moves, how much does it look like the PS4 interface, because the PS4 interface, like, never changed, basically.
It works,
It added folders. It does work, absolutely. But that's why I'm curious what the PS5 interface looks like.
I think they are going to do a refresh. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what article I read it in, but they had talked about like, hey, this hasn't changed in forever. Mm-hmm. The ray tracing stuff seems interesting. I don't really understand. Like, I can see the difference when good ray tracing is on. Watching control streams. But that stuff is going to work on a console that you buy at the store. I have no idea. We have no idea how expensive this box is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're able to obviously make like custom chips and custom cards and try to you know, squeeze power in ways that that PCs and stuff don't have to, because they know exactly what each piece of the box is going to be used for at all times, because it's a closed system, you know? So I'm sure they're going to be able to create something. Andy says blades, that's the right interface. The blades, did love the blades on the Xbox 360.
I loved the blades. They should have kept them instead of going to whatever nightmare they went to.
It was the only fast interface I've ever had. Well, they went to that new Xbox experience thing, which was like the avatars on it, and it was the first time I had like the separate screens for different like things. I want to see how much it's going to cost. I want to see how it measures up to the other box that's going to come out. The only thing for me is I know that because you have a sickness for trophies, there's no way you're going to change consoles, no matter what. So I think I'm going to be stuck buying a PlayStation 5.
I think you're going to buy a PlayStation 5 because they're the company that puts out the best exclusives.
I'm going to buy a PlayStation 5 anyway. I'm going to have all of them.
You just want to blame me for it.
But I'm talking about like primary console.
Yes, well... I guess we'll see what happens. When do you think the next time when do you think we actually see the console?
E3 would be my guess.
You think E3? They think they wait that long?
To show the box? Maybe. I think they do something else in between, maybe, that's like that PlayStation reveal event where we see the thing, we see games, we see working, you know, things. But I feel like that's a good save because... It's a splashy announcement, but it's not that big of a deal, you know. I think that's probably where we see it. I mean, maybe they do an event beforehand, but I don't know. I don't know if that's something that they do.
Give me a launch date prediction.
A launch date prediction. Okay, everyone's saying PSX, by the way, for the box reveal.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do. If they don't go to E3, they're having a PSX.
Yeah. And Alejandro is asking, will they show up at E3? I think this year they're at E3.
I think so as well.
I think they honestly didn't show up this year because they would just have shown the exact same things they've shown the previous 2 years. And I just don't think that they that would have been worth it for them. A release date. So can I look at? I got to look at what the days of the week are next year.
I'm already there
in November. So
So you're gonna choose November?
It's 100% November. They said holiday. If it was September or October, they would have said fall.
I'm going October.
It is 100% November. October is not a holiday. It's not.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
It's that entire October, November, December is all holiday.
No. October is fall. They would have said
they're going to want to try and get as many weeks as they can before Black Friday.
I honestly don't think they care. I mean, I think that as long as they're out by then, they're fine. My guess is,
when did the PS4 release? Let's see.
My guess is almost definitely November. 100% November.
PS4, November 15th, 2013. You're right. Yeah.
And then the PS3 was also November. I think you have to go back to PS2 to not be in November.
I thought it was October.
No, it's November.
I'm still going to stick to my guns. I'm still saying October.
I'm going to say November 13th.
Ooh, that's a good day.
November 13th. It's a Friday. That's my guess. November 13th.
I will say October. I'll say October 23rd, a Friday.
I'm going to be very excited to see you be wrong.
I mean, that's okay.
The only major console that's launched outside of November in the last two generations was the Switch, which launched in March. So it's not even like a close, not even a close one. The Wii, the PS3, the Xbox 360, the PS4, the Xbox One, the Wii U, all launched in November. Andy says October is fall, unless you're considering Halloween as the holiday.
I just think of that entire month for in game sales as all like holiday time. Like, oh, you're releasing it in the holiday time. Like,
no, because I really do think they would have said fall if they meant October or September. Because I think when they say holiday, they're talking about like the Thanksgiving, Christmas like window of time. That's my guess anyway. I also think possibly the 20th. That either the 13th or the 20th is my guess.
I would think the 13th more than the 20th, but we'll see.
But I think the 20th is cutting it close.
God, it's so far away.
It's literally a year. It's going to go by in like a blink of the eye.
That's the way time works, I know.
Yeah.
we got a lot of games to play before that comes out. It's not even like a dry year. It's going to be a dry year.
No, it's not.
We have
it's
an
not.
Onslaught of games coming.
Yeah. Though I wonder, and I don't think that I'm going to do this too much, but I definitely think there are going to be games next year where I'm like, yeah, if I'm not super like need to play it right now, maybe I'll just wait to see if it comes out on the next gen, you know?
There's definitely going to be games that do that.
Well, I mean, the PS5, they already said, is totally backwards compatible, right? So, but my question is, does that mean, like, does it just like look like a PS4 game on your PS5, or is the power going to be leveraged, right, to make it run a little smoother?
I would think that games coming out, let's just pick the latest game that I know coming out next year is in May. Let's just say Avengers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So May to November, I would think that they have to have had a dev kit in there and be like, okay, if you play the game on a PS5 or, you know, a Scarlet or whatever, you're getting these enhancements right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
It'd be crazy not to.
Yeah, except, I mean, I don't think, here's what I don't think. I mean, I don't, and we, Phil Spencer has already kind of said this, but and for the Xbox side, but like, the games that you buy, if you buy the Avengers, right, let's say on PS4, and then there is a PS5 SKU of the Avengers, like, is Sony going to make you buy like the PS5 version of Avengers to play that like quality, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
I don't know. I just don't know. but it's a crazy news to drop on a random Tuesday morning on in October. So that's something. It was good news. The bad news, Doom Eternal got delayed until March of next year, which sucks, but
good thing March is empty.
Good thing end of February through beginning of mid-April isn't full of games. So there you go. Not that right now isn't full of games. Yeah, no, I'm not worried about the not that right now isn't full
Doom,
of games.
You know
either.
What? Doom was the last one though. Like Doom was the last release before Christmas. Like big marquee release. So if you're going to release a game, it was like November 20th or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So there was nothing really, we did this on the other podcast. There was nothing really coming out in December.
No, there's not. But maybe stuff will come out on Apple Arcade, Justin.
Man. I like phone games. What's happening to me?
So yeah, moving on to talking about some games. Apple Arcade launched with iOS 13, and it's a $4.99 a month subscription service. First month is free, and there's something like 65 games at launch. They said 100 by the end of the year. This is similar to Game Pass. You know, it's a bunch of games. You go into the App Store, it has its own section. You click get, it downloads, and you play it just like a normal game. There's no like launcher for them. The only thing that's similar about them is that they all launch with an arcade, you know, title screen when they first come up. I'm going to look at my phone, Justin. I will say, really, really, really worth it. So far, what do you think?
I've played, I don't know, in my lifetime, an hour or two of phone games. And I think I have like 15 hours in Grindstone right now. So yeah, for me, Apple Arcade has been totally worth it. It's surprisingly robust. Like, Overland is a game that you could buy on, I think, Epic right now for like $25, and it just comes with this. And there are people who say like, oh, it's their preferred way to play the game is to just play it there. And I played like an hour or two of that and just found out, was reminded of how awful I am at strategy games. But yeah, like I've really fallen for this game Grindstone, and I've downloaded, I'll say about 15 games that I've just been excited to do. Like I really want to play What the Golf and just haven't gotten there yet, because every time I look down, I'm trying to complete every challenge and every level of this game Grindstone, which is like what was the best way to describe that? Not a match three, but
no, but so
like Candy Crush ish.
Yeah, it's a vertical board, right? You hold the phone vertically and you're this like Viking man and you drop into like this, let's call it arena or whatever. And I think, what is it? Is it like 6x6? What is it? No, it's longer than that. It's the down is longer.
The stages get much bigger.
Yeah. So there, it's like you have these monsters, a grid based thing, all these monsters all around you, and they're all different. They're different colors. So there's like a blue set of monsters and a yellow set of monsters and a purple and a whatever and an orange. And you can chain together attacks on the same color of monster. So if you can make a path either, you know, vertically, horizontally, or diagonally through this grouping of monsters, you can make a chain and get a bunch of them. And each level takes a certain amount of them to get out of the level. So there's like a locked door. You get a certain amount. Like it starts out at like 30, and then it goes up to 45, and then it's like 75 by the time I finish like the first 30 levels or whatever. There's something like that.
I'm at 100 right now.
Okay. So, but the other part of it is if you can get 10 of the same color in one shot, it drops the grindstone, which is a gem that will allow you to change colors. So you can basically, you could do like, okay, here I did 6 of the greens, and then I got to the grindstone, which falls in the middle of the level. Now I can switch from I can swipe over that and switch from the green to the yellow and do a whole, like, do, you know, 10 of those. And then, oh, look, there's another grindstone over here, and I can switch with that. I can, you know, What was the longest chain you ever had?
35.
I think I got like 32 or something like that. And then the bigger the chain, the bigger the stone that falls out of the sky or whatever. And it doesn't really change anything for you in game, but they become like a currency that you collect. So, and there are more than one objective. All you have to do to beat a level is just get the number of monsters, kill the number of monsters it asks you to. But there are secondary objectives in every level that you can use to unlock different kinds of currency, and you eventually unlock blueprints where you can get different, like,
armors,
you can get some armors
and weapons.
And weapons and stuff like that. It gets pretty complicated as you go along, but yeah, it's great.
It's great. At first I was playing it, and I'm like, this is really simple. This is why I hate phone games. And I mean, now it's taking me about, or like some of the more complicated levels take me upwards of like 20 minutes to figure out like the right path. Mm-hmm. And it's super enjoyable. What's nice about the arcade is you pay the $5 a month and there's no microtransactions, no anything like that. It's just, hey, here's the game, download it, play it offline, play it if you're on an airplane. And it's just nice. It's nice to like look down and be like, oh, cool, something else came out that I want to take a look at. And, you know, not all of them are bangers.
Yeah.
But for $5 a month, like, I could just hand my phone to Jor and be like, here's something new for you to play. Leave me alone for a little while I'm driving.
And there's nothing that he can ask you to buy him with in the games, which
yes,
is also good.
Which is very good.
Because I've literally seen him cajole you into buying him
microtransactions.
Pokeballs for Pokemon Go. Yeah, the no microtransactions is great because that you don't ever feel like you're bumping into those layers, those barriers. I mean, I've been playing a game called Card of Darkness. I played a lot of Grindstone. I'm playing a game called Card of Darkness, which is, it's made by the guy who made Spell Tower, and then the art is by the Adventure Time person. So it's like Adventure Time art, looking game, but it's not in that universe. And basically what you do in that, it's another like grid-based sort of like dungeon type game, but you go into this dungeon, and there are rows of cards, and all you have to do is make your way from the entrance to the staircase, but you can only see the top, the top card in like these piles, and you can't see what's in the next pile of cards until you've like taken down a couple of cards on the adjacent pile, and those cards can either be like health, you can pick up a weapon, or they can be enemies. And the enemies all have like damage ratings. It's very simple, like the way the interface goes. Like, it's like, okay, I have a sword, okay, that is a six. So anything that's a six or below won't do any damage to me because I have this sword, right? It's like kind of like a sword slash shield in a lot of ways. But if you use your six sword, like your sword that's rated a six against an enemy that's a five, the sword will break because you can only use it against evens if it's a six or whatever. Like, you know, if it's a two, only against evens, blah, blah, blah. If it's an odds, against odd numbered enemies. So you still won't take any damage, but your sword will be gone. And there are enemies that do different kind of effects, like ones that were like, will poison you if they do any damage to you. Ones that like every turn that they don't get killed, they gain health. They gain attack power. So they can go from a 2 to a 26 by the time the like your round is over, which isn't a big deal as long as you don't go after that pile of cards. Because you don't have to clear every pile out to get to the end. You just have to carve a path to the end of your level. It's fun. It's everything is, it's randomized, right? So all the everything you get in the dungeon at one point will be randomized. So there are times where you're just like hosed. I imagine there's a way that if you're very good at the game that you can get around these things. But for me, I've definitely come up with times where I'm like, well, I'm just going to die. So let me click, and I die, and I start the dungeon over again, and it re-rolls the cards. It's not a roguelike, so you don't lose all your progress. And in fact, any money you make in a dungeon, even if you die, you keep that money, and you can use that money to buy upgrades. Some of the dungeons have multiple floors. Some of them have like four floors. So if you get to level four of the dungeon and you die, you have to start over at level one. It can be a little bit frustrating, and I've gotten to a point where it's gotten very hard because there's like a ton of different enemies, do a ton of different status effects, and there are these weapons now that are super powerful. There are these swords that are super powerful, and they do a lot, and they protect you from a lot, but every time you hold one of them, you take damage every turn. It's like a flaming sword.
That's interesting.
So there's like a mechanic. So now like that breaking mechanic is actually great or needed because you can like, okay, I got a level 10 sword. I'll take out this 10 enemy, but okay, there's a 9 right here. Let me just use it and break the sword so I don't take any more damage. It's got a lot of strategy. It's a cool game for sure. I've definitely enjoyed it, but it can get very frustrating. I played some What the Golf, which is neat. It's funny. I have to play more of it. I started playing Sayonara Wild Hearts on the phone,
How far did you make it on the phone?
Not very far, like 2 or 3 levels.
All right,
I tried to play it with my controller, and it's like, it was good, but it's so small, you know? And then I didn't like the swiping mechanics on the phone.
You have to change the swiping mechanics to allow like wider swipes. I forget what they call it. But when I first played, I was like, this is impossible. I can't move to the left or right at all. Once I changed that, I was able to get in there and beat all, like, I think I got up to the 4th or 5th stage, only ever getting bronze because I'm bad at those types of things. But it's visually really, really nice.
Yeah, and I like the music a lot,
too. Good soundtrack.
Yeah, very good soundtrack. Great soundtrack. But the new Mac operating system, Catalina, just came out, and with that, they added Apple Arcade to the Mac. So yesterday I sunk my PS4 controller with my Mac and played it on my Mac, and that was way better. It was way easier for me to do it that way. And I got like 4 or 5 levels in last night, just playing a little bit and getting like silver and gold ranks. So that felt okay to be on that level. It's a very cool service. I have a bunch of other games downloaded that I haven't really even tried, like Exit the Gungeon. I have downloaded Overland. I have downloaded Mutazone. I have downloaded Neo Cab, Cricket Through the Ages. So my wife has been playing Assemble with Care, which is like you fix things. And she really likes it a lot. So it's cool. And if you have if you have people in your family on iOS, it's all shared. So you don't have to have more than one subscription to do it, which is cool.
Definitely worth it so far. At
definitely
least.
Worth it. Definitely, so far, yes, definitely worth it. The only other thing we really been playing I've been playing Link's Awakening. It's adorable and awesome. I don't have too much more to say about it. When we actually record again and I finish it, we'll talk about it. We've been playing Borderlands 3.
We have. A lot of
Justin,
it.
Justin, you were very, very, very excited to play Borderlands 3.
I was.
After, I don't know, what do you think, we played for 20 hours?
Has it been that long? Andy, has it been that long? I guess.
And he's like, it feels like it's been 80 hours. I mean, it's been like what? We've played like what? Maybe 15 hours.
I feel like 15 hours.
5 or 6 sessions, probably like 2 or 3 hours a session.
Yeah, you're right.
I guess. So I'm guessing like 15 hours. After being looking forward to it so much, how are you feeling right now?
Mixed feelings. Okay. I think the game, and I told you this the other day, is really uneven. And he says 100%. It's been that long.
No, he said 100+. I think it's like 100+ hours.
Oh god. The game feels uneven to me. Like, I think they really nailed the way the game feels. I think the running, the gunning, the shooting, it all feels great. It took a little bit to get used to, but we were playing a level the other night where we were in a low gravity setting and we were jumping around shooting stuff, and the guns that I had were like super responsive and they all felt good to shoot. It felt good to run around. The movement felt good. The game's just too easy. It's just, you know, and like, that's not like, oh wow, I'm great at video games and, you know, this game is too easy for me. Like, it's just, we're encountering bosses with the three of us, and the boss isn't even done with his monologue, and we've rolled over him, and he's dead.
We did a side mission, and like the person's like, I'm betraying you. I'm gonna pop this giant enemy, and it's gonna be a whole thing. And then like the good person comes on the screen, and is like, well, you gotta make sure you take that thing. And before he had like finished a sentence of his like, you gotta fight this thing, the thing was dead.
And so, like, to me, that's why the game feels so weird. Because, okay, cool. Running, gunning, shooting all feels good. Powers. All right, we're all playing different classes. The abilities are neat. Like, your character's abilities, you're playing the Siren. They're cool. Yeah. They're visually really, really, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It pops. Like, it's a cool-looking ability. You grab people on this ball. These arms come up from the ground. They smash the enemy. At the same time, I'm throwing out my beast, and he's, like, becoming irradiated and becoming huge, and there's radiation everywhere, and Andy's got a clone that's throwing grenades, and it's all awesome, but it's all completely wasted. Like, we don't need any of those abilities. I can just take any gun I have and just shoot a guy, and he dies.
Yeah.
So it feels like the game has this weird balancing issue where it needs to be more difficult. The encounters need to be more difficult to make it feel like, okay, I really got to think about how I'm using my abilities. I got to look at this skill tree and be like, okay, which of these abilities should I choose right now? Which one of these trees do I want to choose to go down? Because every character has three ability trees with all different abilities, all different passives. And for my character, three different pets that they could use. And I've only ever stuck with the one skag that I'm using. But like, we are more than halfway. I'm level 25 now. And I've read that most people get to around at level 40 when they end the game. But it just feels like the game's potential in gameplay is wasted, which is a problem because everything else about the game is just lame. I mean,
You're kinder to it than me or Andy would be.
it's bad. The writing is bad. You know, it caters to a certain type of individual. Like, you have to like fart jokes. You have to like loud screaming noises. And as Andy said, does every person in this game just yell at the top of their lungs? Like, yeah, sure. Yeah. There's a place for that in video games. I think what's sad is like some of the, I think, more clever stuff gets just kind of rolled off to the side. Like, you know, when you shoot enough dudes on fire, you'll pop a what used to be badass ranks in Borderlands 2. And these ranks are like, they're called Guardian ranks, but they're hidden until the end of the game, but you're still completing them. Like, light these many dudes on fire, light these many dudes with radiation, kill people with assault rifles. But if you light enough dudes on fire, like, the name of that challenge is like, this is fine. Which is like a clever little thing, but gets lumped into this giant Rick and Morty fart joke simulator, which, fine, whatever. I'm not paying attention to anything to do with the story, but I'm bored while playing it most of the time because it's like none of these encounters are particularly engaging. Now, I've read and heard that the endgame content is where this game is at. It takes inspiration from the Diablo games instead of, what do they call it in Diablo? Like torture mode or torment mode.
Like
you get mayhem modes where it increases the difficulty exponentially and the encounters become much more engaging. But Jesus Christ, it's taking us a long way to get there. And that's not even mentioning any of the performance issues the game has.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think most of them have become like kind of inoculated to, except the menu stuff still bothers me every time. But there are times where we get into fights and just like my frame rate is just like, nope. How about no frames?
But the weird part is for me, those hangups will usually be about a second or two, but they're random. Like, we could be in a firefight with multiple huge enemies, all of our specials or, you know, ultimates going at once or abilities going at once, guns ablazing, and the thing purrs like a kitten. And then I accidentally turned this corner too hard and I'm getting 2 seconds of 5 frames a second. Like, it's just so random.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I'm enjoying the powers, and I think that as the trees develop, I think, like you said, there's some interesting stuff, and like the additions to the powers that I had are great. Like I have this power, like Justin said, where this giant hand comes out of the ground and grabs an enemy, and the only enemies it can't really grab are bosses, but it will do damage in the area even to bosses. But now it has like now it grabs. It also, like, procs an elemental damage that whatever elemental damage I, like, it can be random. And then also a giant, like, I don't know, like, fist, like, comes out of the ground next to it and starts, like beating around where, like, the person is held up in the air. So any enemies around get, like, squashed, and it all sticks extra damage from it. And it's cool how it builds, right? And the powers have cool things. I think that I think that the game, in trying to, it's obvious that those three trees are there because they want you, they want to try to encourage you to play the game multiple times or keep playing it in the end game a lot. And it gives you more to upgrade as, like, the game goes on, right? So if you do these nightmare modes or whatever, you have something you're putting points into, right? If you don't want to change characters. But I think that by kind of, like, locking so many of its powers, because if you don't focus on one tree, like, we're halfway through the game, I'm about to unlock the last, I put every single point into one tree. I'm about to unlock the last, like, ability on that tree, but I haven't maxed out all of the points on the on the tree, right? So it's going to take me most of a playthrough, I think, to max out that tree. There are all these other powers that if I play the game once, I'm never going to experience or see or have any sort, like you said, because there's no, because it's so easy, there's no challenge to be like, oh, maybe this power set I'm using right now is not the right one. Maybe I don't need to use the grippy hand thing. Maybe I need to use, like, my, like, my charge through ability, or, you know, the, I forgot the other ability she has, but, like, oh, like, the, she's like a ground, jumps in the air, she has all these arms, she's a, like, a giant ground pound. Maybe I need that area of effect thing to clear the, but that doesn't, it doesn't challenge you to do that stuff. And I never feel like, oh, I'm losing out because I'm doing this, what I think is, like, the, like, the heavy, like, combat tree or whatever, attack tree. I'm not doing, like, the, you know, like, the more, like, health-based tree because I don't need to or whatever, you know? So, I think it's good to give people who want to play the game more than your thing, like, you know, a, something to do. But I think that it makes people who are going to play the game once, which is most people, feel like they're missing out on stuff. Also, I think that for a game that has 50 bajillion guns, like, there's only been one or two guns that have been, like, super interesting to use. Yeah. I think a lot of them have just been like, yeah, some of them, they have cool things, but, like, I feel like 50% of the cool things they do is I throw them after they're, you know, they use that, like, you throw the gun to reload it, like, kind of thing, and it does something, trick. So, we both have this kind of cool, like, electricity orb gun now, which is neat. But, like, I feel like if your thing is there are a bajillion guns and we're crazy and wacky and they do cool stuff, there should be more cool stuff that they do.
I agree. I feel like In Borderlands 2, there were way more interesting guns in the early game. And I'm sure that when... My feeling is, like, the game is also going to be uneven because it's going to be all backloaded. All the cool stuff is going to be at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're heading. And so we'll see when we get there. But, you know, as of right now, I'm still enjoying playing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm glad that we're playing this. We get on, we bullshit, we talk, and then we shoot guns and do our best not to listen to whoever is screaming in our ear. But, yeah, like, it's... You asked me how I feel. Like, I guess I'll say, like, I am disappointed. That could turn around when we get to the end game, but it's still not going to cure the feeling of right now being bored out of my mind as we're playing, just because it's like, I'm going to shoot that guy that Bobby caught in this bubble and he's going to chain the, he's dead. He's dead already. I guess I'll just find more money.
There are times when we're playing that I'm like, I just use the power because I'm like, I just want to see it happen. Yeah. But there are times where, like, I try to catch somebody and before the hand could come fully out of the ground and lift them up, you and or Andy have killed the person. You know what I mean? It just happens so quickly. And we mentioned the monologue thing, but, like, there have been two bosses that literally we have not seen any of their mechanics. We didn't see any of their mechanics beyond, like, their first like, okay, I'm going to just stand up here and shoot you for a second, like, thing. We just melted them so fast. And we have had a couple of glitches. That one mission was really the only one that was like, okay, we got to, like, reload things in order to make this work. But, one mission just wouldn't end. Like, we'd have to, like, we could have fast traveled, but we went and finished out another mission, saw a cutscene, and so when we came back, it, like, I guess reloaded the state of the world, so we were able to finish it, but it was one of those things where the mission was just borked, which was not fun. We've been playing that. We're going to play more of it. I feel feeling Destiny is on our horizon. I feel like it's coming up fast on our horizon.
Destiny's on the horizon.
And then we got a bunch of single player games and stuff to play this still to come up. We talked all about that on the other show. I will say they put out a trailer finally for that Spec Ops mode in Modern Warfare. And it looks like Spec Ops. Though it looks like it's gonna be more like those co-op missions sort of like strung together into larger sort of like mini campaigns is what it seems like. They said like 6 at launch or something like that, and 4 on the way afterwards.
That's got my attention. Oh, we played Gears.
Play Gears. Thank you, Andy. I already forgot that we played Gears. It was fine.
It was okay.
It was fine.
Music
was nice. There were some good moments. I feel like the middle of the game, there were some interesting things that it was doing. And then I feel like a mix of the narrative kind of flattening out, and then also really terrible technical issues.
Oh, God,
both,
yeah.
Like, frame rate-wise and just... That's right. Just, like, frame rate-wise and also just, like, we had... In one night, I think we had 3 times we had to either close down the game and relaunch it because there was some crazy technical issue going on, or, like, we had to reload checkpoints because... I got stuck in the world, or one time I got tossed into a section. We walked through a door and my character got tossed into a section of the level that I wasn't supposed to be on and I couldn't get back from it.
I was just thinking about that time we were driving through that tornado and it lifted our like little skiff up and my character, as we're being flicked off the side of the stage, my in-game character just goes, "Oh boy." We just all die as Andy is a drone.
And he was a drone, that's right. In the Gears campaign, we played a 3-player. 2 people control humans, 1 person controls Jack, the robot.
And you hated it. You absolutely hated it.
I did hate it.
And
to be
Andy,
fair, I
Andy
it,
fell in love with it.
He did. To be fair, I played it in like the first mission, which was like, he had no power.
Yeah, that was rough.
Andy was like turned into a murder bot by the end of the campaign. Yeah, it was fine. It was just fine. I don't know. They did some interesting stuff, and in a co-op perspective, interesting stuff where like I was playing Kate, and it showed me things it didn't show the other players, like because things are having my perspective, which is cool in a way, but also I was like, this is weird. They should be seeing this because this is like a big part of the game.
Yeah. Oh, then you murdered my character. Yes,
murdered
thank
your
you.
Character.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, but I murdered his character. I think that's going to do it for this return to the monthly reset. Follow us on the socials at monthly reset. I'm at Bobby Shortle on Twitter. As you can see on our things here, I'm at Bobby Shortle on Twitter. Justin?
At Barkley76.
We're gonna try to do some more stuff. We're gonna try to start streaming a little bit from here as well. The Joe Blow streams will continue. Just the podcast is done for now, so we're gonna keep going over here on that and look for more from us. But until then, thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bobby.
And thank you to all of you who are watching. Until next time, be good to one another.